Kelsey, Renee, Kemp. Yeah, that's that. I said, well, you having fun? They're out there in California. It's Sequoia National Park. And I think next they're supposed to be going to Kings Canyon. And then I think that's, Doris said, that's one of your favorite places. They're, of course, from California. And moved to Texas just as soon as I could. But then I think they're going out to Yosemite. And that'll be a lot of fun, too. We've had the privilege and blessing of being able to visit some of those places. After many years of ministry, we got to do a little bit of traveling that so many of y'all been able to do. And, man, there's some beautiful sights out there. There really are just gorgeous, gorgeous places. And I'm thankful that they get to go. Brother Rick gave me a word this morning after service, and I didn't realize this, but the message, of course, that I preached this morning, I preached at the dedication, now not at the groundbreaking, but at the dedication service right over 15 years ago. And that was, he told me, that was the last sermon, a church sermon at church that Miss Judy heard. And before she, of course, got so very ill and then finally passed and has been with the Lord, and we're looking forward to seeing her. What a wonderful woman. She was a great woman and great discernment. She had a gift of discernment, and if somebody trouble came into the church, she could help spot that. She was just good at it, and she was raised in a preacher's home, and so she had some good insights and experiences, and so she was a blessing. And Brother Rick was a blessed man. Miss Jennifer, a blessed daughter. And just thank God for that. Well, I'd like to start out just with a couple of verses from the Word of God tonight. This will be quite a bit different. In Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Brother David Bryant, Dr. David Bryant, former professor and president of Arlington Baptist College, where I graduated years ago, Brother Rick, Pastor, and others, and he became president many years after we'd gone through there, and he said, this, the building, is what scared him to death. All through the years, pastoring different churches, long time out into Wichita Falls, out there a long time. But he never had to build any buildings, and it just scared him to death. And still to this day, they're still in that rented building over in Pantego, Texas, in Arlington, Texas area. And I keep encouraging him, you really need to get into a building. Sooner or later, he's going to need to step down. He's not a spring chicken anymore. And he knows his time's limited, and I've encouraged him to do it, but he's too skilled. And I said, well, if somebody like me can do it, you can do it, And he says, oh, I knew you'd say something like that. He says, but it scares me to death. Well, there's reasons for that. I spoke this morning about my former pastor who served in the Marine Corps. Tough guy, tough man. And but he said, to relocate, not just to build on your location, but to completely relocate your ministry and build. Will take 10 years off of your life. Well, I believe that's probably true. That's probably true. But if it turns out to be that for me, I want you to know, I consider it still a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord. And so be it. I just get to see the Lord that much sooner. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 150 years old anyway. Not here. I'd rather just, if I'm going to get ill like old brother JT, I can understand that just be more willing to go see the Lord. And so I'd be happy with that. Now, we've gone through a lot of transitions in the last 15 to 20 years, really just almost the whole time of the ministry here. And it didn't start out pretty, I promise you. It didn't start out pretty years and years ago. But we're still here. We're still here. And we've sometimes, I've said the definition of success is going the right way. What? Well, another definition of success that I like is success is outlasting your enemies. And sometimes, you know, it's, well, I'm still standing, you know. I'm still standing. Sort of like Rocky, one more round, you know, one more round, still standing. Well, transitions are always times of temptations. Transitions are always times of potential trouble. And usually it's a time that Satan really gets all guns out and seeks to come at you from all different angles, inside and outside, and seek to destroy your life and destroy your ministry. Why? Because it's frankly a lot easier to destroy something when it's in transition. It just is. Why do you think cults target people in transition that they're wanting to get to join their cults? Yet for all who put their trust in the Lord and do right, for all who put their trust in the Lord and do right. Now, doing right's not always easy. Sometimes it seems like I think if they had more information, maybe they'd do right, but they just can't quite get there. And I just say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, and they let them go. But for all who do right and trust the Lord, great will be our reward. Great will be our reward. And I want all to know who helped build everything that is here. I believe with all of my heart, great will be your reward. We did this through the help of God. We did not seek others to pay for any of our bills. Not one solicitation letter was ever sent out of my office or from this church asking another church or some other organization, a parachurch organization, to pay for our bills. Matter of fact, just the opposite. I've told the story before, the vice president of the entire bond company, a multimillionaire, came here to visit. He knew a couple of preachers that I knew and respected them. And he said, well, tell me, he stood out there on the front porch and he said, tell me your plan and tell me your backup plan, what you got going on. And he says, well, you know, he heard all the story and he said, well, if you get in trouble with that, you could always ask a sister church to help you out, right? And I said, no, sir. No, sir. He said, would you mind explaining that? And I said, no, sir, not at all. We're grown people. We believe this is God's will, and we're going to see it through. And we will not be asking somebody else to carry our water. We will do this, or it will be a testimony about what not to do. But no, sir, we will not be asking any other church or any other parachurch organization that wants to be such a blessing to churches. We're not going to ask anybody to pay our bills. These are our bills, and we're going to pay them. We're going to pay them. Well, the very next day, he called a bond agent, and he wanted to buy a large amount of our bills, of our bonds, not of our bills, of our bonds. And it turned out to be a great blessing, but he was moved to do that because of our dependence on God and God alone to take care of our own business and not looking to bail out and shuffle our responsibility to somebody else and ask them to carry our load, some socialistic mindset. And I'm opposed to socialism and communism with everything within me. Amen. All right? I'm opposed to it. It will kill this country and it will kill churches and has already done so. It's already done so. But I want you to know, I believe with all my heart, those who've had a part, and it could be a little part or a big part or anything in between, you will have a reward. You will have a reward in heaven. Now, in the middle of all of these transitions, we had additional transitions. One of the things we did is we started another New Testament church. That was no small matter, but we did that. Another thing that we did, and we planted out of our people over to Roy City to start that church, and I'm happy to report to you today, they have their own property, and they have their own pastor, and they have their own church building, and we did not pay a dime of that building. They paid for that themselves, as it should be. Now, not only that, but we've given of ourselves and had young men and families called out of our ministry that have gone out in spiritual leadership all over the country. And that we've invested. We haven't just decided, well, let's just circle the wagons. And I tell you, sometimes that would be a little bit of a temptation to do that. But I've always read, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given a give and it shall be given unto you. So we always want to end kind of on that giving end of things, you know. Just trusting the Lord, keep investing. Keep investing for the cause and the kingdom, okay, that we just heard Gabe and Sydney. I said it right that time, Sydney. I've been calling her, sometimes I'll call her Cindy, and she's quick to correct me. Her name's not Cindy. But we have two other Cindys, so it's not like it's a curse or anything, right? Amen, you know. But we just try to do the Lord's work. Just try to do the Lord's work. Imperfect, you bet. You bet. Guilty as charged. But keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. In 2005, New Heights Baptist Church purchased this 28.3 acres. This is a part of it. It was a 28.3 acre tract of land. And we made the deal to purchase this land for 57 cents a square foot. Well, they're 43,560 square foot in every acre. Believe me, I know. And that amounted to, now there's some other things, of course, going to be built into any kind of closing. That amounted to right over $702,000 is what we paid for 28 plus acres here. We took out a $900,000 line of credit to cover that. Because if you're going to buy land, you have to have equipment to care for that land. It just doesn't take care of itself. It'll just fall apart and grow up and you won't ever be able to do anything about it. So we needed a line of credit. And I like the line of credit approach, and the officers agreed, because you only pay on what you're borrowing for that time. But we were going to need a tractor and bush hog and stuff, you know, to take care of such a property as this. Then we're going to have to hire a drafter, architect, planning, you know, all kinds of things. When cities say the churches don't pay any taxes, don't you believe it? You'll just pay it in a different form. I promise you. You'll just pay it in a different form. Impact fees, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Environmental studies, everything has to be done. Draw your blood, you know, drawn and quartered, you know, it just, you name it, they do it. But we secured that loan from Brother David. I was trying to remember his last name. I've got it in my files, I know, somewhere. But that was from a bank over here in Saxe, community bank. And Brother David was a good Christian man. He was a member, and I think still is a member, at First Baptist Church and in Garland, Texas, where Brother Cockrell was pastor down there for many long years, faithful man down there. Brother Cockrell's the one that married Dolores and Dale Morrison years and years and years, years ago. I mean, you know, millennia ago, you know. But Brother... there at the bank, he was a big help to me as a Christian man. I already had some knowledge of banking, but not a whole lot, and so I was kind of new. And I'm not one of those that just rushes in without knowing what's going on. I need to learn at least sufficient enough information to know that I'm not leading the church into a reckless, you know, enterprise. And if you've never done anything like that, you don't learn it in college. You don't learn that, you know. From your officers, most of them have never done that either, you know. And so he was a big blessing to me during that time. And we decided to do that, of course, in the line of credit, and it worked out just fine, just exactly the way it was supposed to work. It worked just like that, and I was very happy. Okay, I'm getting confirmation. This is how you take care of business, and this is how you go from here to there. Well, we started marketing our property there in Garland, and we had hired a realty outfit, specialty church stuff, you know, and they're, boy, going to really get the job done. Well, they didn't get the job done. So it's sort of like, you know, there's an old country song, and you'll have to forgive me for knowing such things, but, you know, old country song, you always leave me holding the bag. Don't you know it's getting heavy to drag? It's just an old cornball country, forgive me. I know I shouldn't know it, okay? But I could sing it to you after church if you're really interested in it. But that's been the lot of my life, is carrying other people's messes. You know, it seems around, you know, you always leave me holding the bag. And so we decided just to give it a go ourselves. You know, I've always felt, well, if another man can do it, I can do it. All right, I've just always felt that way. If somebody else can do it, I can get some education and whatever I need to learn. If they can do it, my back ain't broke, I can do it. And I've just kind of always gone that way. So we decided to go it alone. And you know what? Hey, God blessed, it worked. We're here. We're not there, you know. And we found a buyer and started working through the details. Now, that buyer happened to be some Nigerians. Now, that was different. And it wasn't different because of the color of skin. It had nothing to do with it, and it has nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with their dialect of English. Pastor Chris, bless his heart, he was already like 65, but he had the energy of a 40-year-old. I mean, he just didn't look like he was really that old. But the only way you could, the only way I could understand him is you had to be watching their mouth as they spoke. As a matter of fact, there have been a few occasions that Pastor Chris called me up well after the fact, 2 years after we sold the property, and he's wanting to know what about this and what about that down at the old building, you know. And I'm telling him, no, if you'll crawl up in the attic space right here, and just forget it. And then I'll go, finally, I just have to go down and read his lips and talk to him face to face to understand exactly what's going on. So it was kind of like that. You either had to have an email or you had to be face to face, because the phone calls, that ended up not working. It didn't even work for the bond company. Matter of fact, they were the same bond company we used. They quit dealing business with them on the phone because of the misunderstanding. It was gross misunderstanding. So you just had to read their lips, or you're just going to be lost. But there were some language issues, and there were some cultural issues. They dress up, man. Do they dress up to go to church? I mean, they have their decoration day, and they show up with the big fluffy hats. You know, I mean, it's fancy. And I'm half making fun, but it's nice. It was proper and fitting. Now, what was kind of unusual is chicken bones in the parking lot, where people are eating chicken and you just throw them out in the parking lot. You know, so we had to try to meet after they met. And their culture and what was okay was probably not what we would do, right? And we eat fried chicken. I guarantee you we eat fried chicken, but we don't throw bones in the parking lot. And so we're out there in between the services picking up bones. I'm picking up bones. You know, we're picking up bones. And, you know, and little boys, we go to the bathroom, and if there's not enough places to go pee-pee, they just go to the corner. Well, we got to... If I'm lying, I'm done. We got to get in there. We got to clean all that up, because all you nice people, y'all don't want to go into a bath, right? You don't want to go sticky, sticky, sticky. You don't want to go through all of that. So there was some cultural things that we had. You see, y'all really didn't. You didn't even know about some of that stuff. And probably didn't need really know to know about it. But there it is anyway. Do with it what you want. So we got started down through there with them, and we got all that worked out. The property there in Garland was a larger property building, about 4.3 acres, what we had there. And but it was really ill designed. It was really what it was built for was a very, very, very large bus ministry and a much smaller church. So the sanctuary, you know, would seat so much, but you could put probably 1,000 kiddos in all of these. We call them the maze, and the kids used to love to run around up there. It's like a rat's maze. You could just get lost. You know, this room to that room, or that room to that room, that just, it just, you know, it was just like that. So it wasn't very marketable, you know, as a property in modern ages for another church. But we just prayed about it and tried to live with some knowledge, and we ended up selling that property for $1 million. So that's what we sold the property for there. And, of course, the $900,000 line of credit that we had with David Todd, that was his name, David Todd. Usually those things come to me, Brother Bob, about 2 a.m. in the morning. David. And I want to send out an email. The only person that's awake then is Miss Debbie Jones. So, you know, just send it to her. David Todd was his name. God bless David Todd, Lord. God bless David Todd. He's a real blessing and help to me. But we paid off that note. And man, I tell you, he started talking us up. He really did. He says, you watch these guys. You watch these guys. They're going to do good things. Y'all help them. And he started spreading word all around town. I'd run into other businessmen, and he would have already talked to them. And we were building a reputation of upright people, capable of doing business, and our word is our bond. Really. Now, they still made us sign the documents, you know, about bank policy. That's another story. But he was already a blessing, and we were already building a good reputation. And by the way, I cherish that reputation. To me, it's real important. So we paid off that note, and at that time, we burned the bridge. We didn't have anywhere to go now but forward. I remember Brother Wendon Averett, God bless his heart. He said, well, maybe we could just kind of pivot and just stay here. And I said, here, we already sold here. I don't know what you're thinking, brother, but we can't go back. We can't go back. Even if we wanted to, we can't go back. We have to go forward. And he said, well, I guess so. You know, Arkansas boy, you know, fine, man. I miss him, Miss Iveen, dearly. So forward we marched. We started working towards plans. What kind of plans? Blueprint plans. Now, our first design was a two-story design. And man, I had all kinds of things. I mean, it was looking good. But when the estimate came in, it was too high. It was just too high. And I knew as soon as it came in, I said, I mean, we're not going to have to vote on this. It's too much. It's too much. You know, it's unreasonably too much, too high. Well, unfortunately, we had at the time a young officer in the church and who had been improperly influenced by a name it, claim it, charismatic preacher. And he said, oh, bless God, we ought to just go for it. And I said, well, you know, sometimes there's a fine line between faith and foolishness, and you're on the wrong side. So I said, no. And he said, well, I think we ought to put it to the church. And I said, I don't think we should. I think we put it to the officers, and I guarantee you I know what they're going to say. They have better sense than you. And they said, no. So we go back to the drawing board. So that's one of those delays, see, that took place that you just love to rub in my face, you know. That's one of those delays. Wasn't my fault, you see. It kind of was. But so we had to go back to the drawing board and start all over and try to have something that we could reach. We might have to step on our tiptoes to get there. And we did, didn't we? But we could actually reach. And so we ended up with a one-story design, which is what you see right here. And I was out here with string and stake, driving stuff in the ground. Every bit of this was laid out. And if you remember that, years ago, I even had a little software thing I bought, and I was flying around in a little helicopter. That's back before Brother Gabe has his helicopter, you know, a real one that flies around and takes pictures, which you're going to see in a few minutes. And, you know, it was just on a computer little program. But I want you to know, all my little stakes, and I had the little cones and flags out, you know, survey tape and stuff. I had it all laid out. And I want you to know, still to this day, it feels just like it did when I laid all that out. Just like it did. And Brother Ray Gunner said, you'd be surprised what engineers will do when nobody's looking. And so I did. I mean, I did all the stuff to just kind of make sure this would work and how this, walking in the church, how would this, you turn to go to the bathroom, you turn to go to the nursery, and this is okay. And you go right to the center. Now you stand right here, and you can see there, and you can see there. Yeah, and I drew so many different church buildings. I'd go to camp, and they say, don't you want to go golfing? No, I have to draw churches. And I took it to task. It was serious to me. And it captured my life, and I'm not ashamed to say it. It captured my life, and it was important. It was important for me to look to it and to do my dead level best, to do a good job. Besides, my daddy wouldn't be happy with me if I didn't do a good job. So we decided to go ahead with that. Now, we started in all this drawing with the designer. Why? Because I had learned from other businessmen, well, if you use a designer instead of an architect, they won't charge you quite so much. And you can do a designer, and they can do the stamping and all that kind of stuff, and you can get a better bang for the buck. And hey, that's my song. I'm listening to that. And so I get a designer, and we go on with that. And it seemed like every time I walked in his office, or he walked in mine, he had changed what I had told him we wanted to do. I mean, I think he got influenced by these guys that built this Chuck E. Cheese place over here for the city, that has 1 degree off walls simply because somebody from New York decided they thought that would be good and upcharged the city, the taxpayers, a lot of money just to build a crooked wall. Well, I'm not for such foolishness. So I'd go back in and he'd have this wall crookedy, 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 sort of like Andy Griffith, you know, crookedy, crookedy, crookedy. And I'd go back in and I'd straighten out those walls. No, you do it like this. And finally he says, well, I'm drawing this. And he said, but you're not paying for it. Amen. You're not paying for it. So I want you to do what we want to do, not what you want to do. You see, these architects and designers, they kind of get the idea that belongs to me. Well, it doesn't belong to you. I sit down there with Brother Ron Boone, who is our developer, you know, GC on this job, partial GC on this job. And I sat there and I listened to every department head in the city, you know, sitting around a big conference table. And the inspector, commercial inspector, said, "Preacher, what you need to do is you need to go down here to the bank and you need to see what kind of building we build." And I said, "Really? I didn't know cities built buildings like that." And I said, "Can everybody bank at that bank? Does it have better rates than other banks?" Now, all this time, my builder, he's a Christian man and a pastor, he's kicking me underneath the conference table. "Won't you shut up? You're causing trouble, you know." But I was trying to make a point. Because finally he said, "Huh?" And I kept going, you know, "You make a point, drive it home." And so finally he said, "No, we don't own the building." I said, "Oh, so you didn't actually build the building." He said, "Well, obviously not." And I said, "Well, you said it was your building." So I just, you know, I'm playing dumb. It works pretty good sometimes, you know. I knew they didn't build the building. I was just pulling him in so I could cut his legs off, you know. And I did too. I cut him off. And I said, "You know, do you have better rates than my bank? I wouldn't mind transferring everything that I got over there," you know. Of course, and then they didn't own it. "But you need to do this." So I'd go in finally. I'd had too much of him. And I'm like, you know, I'm pulling to Donald Trump. "You're fired." And he said, "You can't fire me." And I said, "Oh, you want to bet?" And so I fired him. Now, I've had to let some people go, but never with such joy as that time. You know, I gave him the boot. I fired him. Unfortunately, I didn't do too much better in the architect. He said, "Well, we'll go up the ladder, you know." Well, I guess after all, we're going to have to get an architect after all. And I hired a crook. Oh, man. These guys, you know. I wish everybody was members of New Heights Baptist Church, and so they'd be good people, but they're not out there. So I hired a crook, but we managed him anyway. I had to pay an extra bill with an electrical engineer and all of that, and they could have held up the whole thing at the end, and they were fine with me, and I paid them, and, you know, we went on, but we learned a lesson, but we had to manage a crook. Now, most of this heartache that I'm just giving you a little bit, members at large didn't even know. You didn't even know the heartache stuff that's going on. Officers, many times, they knew. They knew. But they didn't want to discourage the church either. You know, people are easily discouraged. They're easily discouraged. And so we would try to hide, you know, love covered the multitude of sins, and we'd try to hide what needed to be, you know, shared with the church. We'd share those things. But I didn't like working with a crook, and I knew he was a crook. Now, I'm already in for a nickel for a dime, you know. So I'm trying to manage it and just get the job done regardless of the obstacles. I want to take time to share with you all the loans over this transitional period. All the loans. That's everything. All the loans that we had. Now, it doesn't include things like the pavilion and the playground, all that other kind of stuff. You know, these are the big items. We had, of course, the land and development loan. That was a line of credit. I've already shared with you, that was $900,000, which is a lot of money. Now, I'm a mechanics kid, a heavy-duty mechanics kid, and I never dreamed I would be managing millions of dollars, but I've been there and I've done that. So the first was $900,000 to purchase, develop land, infrastructure, utility work, all on the church property here, the 28.3 acres, set up equipment, all that. Then we had a first bond. And that's another interesting story. We had a bond company come in. Of course, they're the professionals, and we meet over at a sister church, and they're telling everybody how this all runs, and then finally we have a commitment day, and not even close to what we needed to raise, not even close. And I asked the not the vice president, but the agent that was responsible for our case, I said, "Can we get there from here?" And he says, "No, we can't." You know, oh, man. Oh, we're not even out of the gate good. We're already hearing bad news. And I said, "Well, Sundays are coming. Why don't you give me a go?" And he says, "Well, you know, we're the professionals." And I said, "Well, yeah, you're the professionals, but how well did you do?" So they don't know you. They know me. Maybe they'll forgive me enough that maybe we can get something done. And so I came in, you know, and I was ready to preach, man, and I laid it out, and I did the best I could. To shout from the mountaintop, "This is what God wants us to do. Turn not to the right hand, to the left. Let's get her done." We had a promise and bond, you know, commitment, just the commitment part. We're interested in this. And when I saw that same fellow after church, he had a big smile on his face. And I said, can we get there from here? And he says, yes, we can. Like he had anything to do with it. You know, he didn't have anything to do with it, you know. But, I didn't, no, there we go, that way. So that first bond that we took out was for over $1.9 million. That's just the first bond. That's just to get started. Just get started. The second bond was for $1.1 million. So you're doing the math, that's $900,000 for the line of credit. 1.9 plus million for the first bond, just to get things started. Then to finish up, $1.1 million. But that bond company also, they had some people in there not quite as honest as well. And they ended up leaving us $146,000 short. They'd made me a promise that it would include that $146,000, and then when it all come down to it, because they said we were above our debt-to-loan ratio, and we were, but they said they'd be able to cover it. Then all of a sudden, they were not. What am I supposed to do, cry in my beer for the rest of my life? So, well, I don't drink beer, by the way. Don't drink at all. But we decided, well, we'll go to the people of God here and ask for no interest loan. I had one member said, oh, I'll make it a loan. I'll make you a loan, and I'll charge you this interest. Well, no, haven't you read that book? We can't go there. And so I said, no, thank you. So we had membership, a wide variety of different, young, old, and everybody in between. I gave no interest loans from members to the tune of $146,000, and we were able to get in. Whew. Get in. Then we were going to develop that land off the back there, and we need some money to basically take care of the infrastructure. You know, it costs to build a road, by the way. You're going to build a road, water, sewage, all that stuff to get a better price for the land. So it's a matter of spending money to make more money. All right? And some people don't want to do that. Hey, that's fine. You roll the way you want to roll. But that's not the way the most of the world works. So we needed another loan to do that at $350,000. Then, several years after all of this, we decided we wanted to take care of a housing inflationary matter. If you notice, housing or apartments kept going up and up and up and up and still are going up and up and up and up and up in cost. Almost seems like every year. And if you're going to have staff, you're going to have people, you're training and stuff coming in, you have to do something about the inflationary issue. And I learned some lessons from Brother Joe Hawkins, years ago, who took that inflationary measure right off of the mission ministry in Brazil. And he bought a fixer-upper house and he worked from that house and started churches like this. And took care of all of that, didn't have to return to the United States every 2 years to raise additional support. Well, I took the lesson from a good man there, and I said, okay, there's something we can do about that. We can build a staff house out here. So I got plans off the internet, and I changed up those, modified those plans from a two-bedroom apartment house duplex, and we built a three-bedroom on one side and finished the apartment on the other. We took out a loan for that of $175,000. Now again, I'm not including like the pavilion and other, you know, smaller items, but definitely the cost items. But that came, matter of fact, I had missed, and I knew I was missing a number because I've been telling church about $4.2 million altogether. But I knew that something's missing, I'm missing something. So I went digging this last week, and I found it. And I found that $350,000 note out there. I didn't have that in my notes. Now I have it in our file, but I just didn't have it in my notes. So that gives us a total of overall debt of all these major loans of $4,579,488. Now, I don't know where you came from, but to me, that's a lot of money. All right, that's just a lot of money. And you can get buried with that kind of money. Now, in the summer of 2008, we broke ground right here. And I was the general contractor on all of that land development out there. And I was the general contractor on this property of everything, utilities, everything up to the foundation, up to the concrete. I was in charge of all of that, contractors, and doing it all. I was uneasy about building a red iron building. I didn't have any experience building a red iron building. That's what this is. If it was a cinder block build, I know how to do that. If it's other kind of construction, I know how to do that. And I thank God I knew how to do it. But I didn't want to cut my teeth on something I didn't know how to do, especially being responsible. The buck's going to stop with me, and I promise you it's not going to stop with the officer. It's going to stop with the pastor. So we broke ground there, and we did the work. And although the church tried to use a realtor on some land sales, that failed again. Seemed like the people who are professional sellers can't sell. And I want you to know, your pastor brokered every deal from that in Garland, all of the properties here. And I've always felt, he said, if you have something that's worth selling, I can sell it. You know, I can sell it, and as long as everybody's going to be reasonable. So we sold the property in Garland for $1 million and paid off the line of credit here, $900,000. We needed to pay off those individuals who, by good faith, gave us that no-interest loan to help us get in. Listen, some of these people were elders on fixed incomes. Some others were college students, high school. I mean, you know, they really dug deep, and they did their best. And I really wanted to get them paid off. Some of them, they probably didn't need to do it, in my mind, but they did it anyway for love of God and for their church. And I always hold those dear. And so they did that, and we got that taken care of, and we sold the property. I needed to sell the property. We were a year promissory notes, and we had 1 year to get those paid off, and I didn't have enough money to pay them all off. And I hated that. I hated it, man. I give my word we do it, but that's when the economy tanked, and nobody was selling anything. And man, it was bad. You know, to me, it was bad. So I wanted to get that paid off. So I was scrounging. So our prime property that we had to sell is this 4 acres, this little corner section, which we knew was going to be a corner section with that road. The road wasn't there at the time, but I knew that was going to be prime property. So I ended up selling that. I found 4 Polish men. It's not a Polish joke, by the way. We had Polak jokes back home. Out here, everybody has Aggie jokes. Kind of same joke, just change it up, you know. But we sold that property over there. Each one of them bought an acre each, $100,000 each, and then some change. And during that our time. And so I did that because that's our prime property, and somebody was willing to buy it, and I was willing to sell it. And I wanted to pay off these individuals. And so even after that 1 year was, I got to stop, let me go back a little bit. After I couldn't meet that 1 year deadline, we had about $30,000 in savings that we could pay off some of those that were, you know, the most desperate cases. You know, I say desperate, you know, to me, they needed to be paid back. The young people, the elders, you know, stuff like that. If I could pay anybody back, I need to pay them back. So we did that, and we paid those guys off. We gave everything we had, just go ahead and pay that off. But if I recall, it wasn't 2, maybe 3 months at most that I sold that property over there. We closed on that, and I paid everybody off. You're supposed to say amen about right there. You know, I paid everybody off. Everybody got paid off. All right, so praise God, we got that done. God delivered. We brokered that deal. Now, that deal, $400,000, by the way, $100,000, that's $2.30 per foot. May I remind you that we bought it for 57 cents a square foot. So even though I was under pressure and we're under the gun to kind of get something going, God was already blessing. All right, and by the way, nobody else was selling any land. I had realtors calling me, how are you selling land when nobody else can sell land? And I would tell them, you know, clean living, you know, clean living, you know. Yeah, just might as well throw a little salt in there, you know, you jab them a little bit. You never know, maybe they get right with God. And we did have some city officials come around for a little while. So, you know, clean living, we'll do that. Brother Gabe has a slideshow that he's going to help us with at this point, be an encouragement to you, I hope. And we tried to get that together today. And it's going to help you identify 6 lots. But let's go ahead and we'll show the slideshow, and then I'll hurry on. I promise not to be too much longer, okay? I'm not going to preach more of a message. I just want to relate the story. All right. Are you ready to go? Okay. Sophie, no popcorn in the church. Can you dim the lights where you can see better? There you go. That's our old parking lot in Garland. That's what we started with. That was the sanctuary. We remodeled. You want to call it that? We called it that. This is the aerial view of this property. That's when we buried the Bible. Groundbreaking ceremony. That was a hot day, too, boy. That's the commercial development out back. That's infrastructure. Had to throw a snow picture in there. How did that get in there? Oh, there. That's the apartment location now where that's at. That's Brother Greg Woodcock, the gas can. He's always running out of gas. Now, this is pretty neat right here. Watch this. This is his helicopter. All that green belt up to the top left, that was all a part of the 28 acres. Now, we'll charge you $5 each. We'll see that video now. Then. I want you to know, if I had a helicopter like that when I was a little boy, I'd have skipped all 12 grades of school. All right. I don't know if you can quite make that out, but that's the back six lots. Kind of leave it dimmed a little bit. I think I can see enough. And that's the coming off of the west part of the property where you see my finger there. We had a cul-de-sac on that, and we developed that street back there and all the utilities, and then the six lots. and we sold lot 10. Some of the lots were larger on one side, had easement areas, and not so on the other side. Sold lot 10 for $100,000 to get started there. Sold lot 11 for $119,000, $500, $119,500. Sold lot 12 for $130,000 even. Sold lot 13, these are all different times and deals we made, $116,364. Sold lot 14, a couple of smaller lots, $96,300. And then lot 15 for $91,828. And that all was a lot of work through time. And the church basically, you know, the men just basically go get it, you know, go get it done. And so over time we're able to do that. All right, you can go ahead and bring the lights up, Brother Gabe. We sold off of that back section, back there on the back corner, where I said that green belt, we sold 5.3 acres back over there. And guess what I sold it for? I sold for $876,000. That's a lot more money than we paid for all of the land, than 5.3 acres. And that was included a 1.4 acre easement underneath that power line, the big power line. By the way, when we did that, we paid off the smaller mortgage on the apartment built out there. So the time we had a mortgage on that apartment built was, I think, at most 2 months, 3 months at most. And that was a paid off. By the way, that was to Southern Roofing. We paid that off. Leanne has been to the church here, the owner of Southern Roofing, been to the church here a few times. It's an interesting story. I had three different offers going on at the same time. Two were basically locked. And she was in my office, and she brought her foreman and her manager with her. They do all the D.R. Horton homes in all of North Texas. It's a big operation. And a very successful woman. And written up in a lot of magazines. And so while I'm sitting there trying to make a deal with her, in comes an email. Bing! You know, you get that bing. You go, and it's the competitor. And all three of those, all at the same time, said, "Don't check that email, preacher. Don't check that email," because they knew that was their competitor. And I said, "Oh, no, I got it." And I said, "Okay." I said, "You want to break the log jam? You want to break the deal? You know, everybody's locked up. You want to break it?" I said, "You're a roofing company. I'm building an apartment out here. Why don't you agree to put a top-of-the-line decking and roofing, all up, build that whole thing, finish that apartment over there for us," which would have been a lot of money. And I said, "Why don't you do that for us?" And we got a deal. She said, "Done!" Just like that. Done! Boy, she was eager. Done! She wanted. She said, "I want that property. I want that property." So she bought that property for $876,872. Then, because the third potential buyer, they wanted to buy, their deal was a little different. They wanted to buy everything, all the way, wrap all the way around, all the way up to our concrete back here. And I said, We can't do that. We can't do that. And they said, "Well, would you tell your officers? Would you at least pitch the deal?" And I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that." And it's a legitimate offer, and so I need to bring it to the officers' attention. But I knew then, as soon as I did that, the cat's out of the bag. The cat's out of the bag. You can't get the cats back in the bag. And so we come back with a counter offer. "What would you be willing then to sell?" Now, it was always my intention not to sell the additional 2+ acres back there in that back. It was never my intention to sell that. That, I say these things, please forgive me, don't think I'm a gambler or anything. That was my ace in the hole. If we got in trouble, I was thinking, okay, in the back of my mind, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to that in case we get in trouble and I need to bail out. You know, need to get something taken care of. And so, but now it's out. It's out. No, we're willing to do this. Now, okay, you're willing to do that. Okay. So we ended up selling, that was 2.31 acres. And we sold that for $604,720. The 2.31 acres. Now, altogether, total Garland and Wiley property and land sale income came to $3,546,197. $3,546,000 and change. That, by the way, by doing a brokering and making our own deals, that saved us over $200,000. Brokered all of those deals. You know, and it's really not that hard to do. I can help you do that. If you need to sell something, you let me know. I can help you with that. But we paid no broker fees on any of those deals. So we got all of that money. We had purchased, of course, 28.3 acres for right over $700,000, plus the additional cost. And then the land net profit from that, taking out the $100,000, brings us to $2 million, the net profit, $2,546,000 and change. That's a pretty good deal. Matter of fact, most people think that's a very big deal. I have met a businessman in this city didn't think that that is a good story. That's a really good story. So last bill, the $350,000, that property out there, that home, would easily appraise at $350,000. We paid that off in just a few months there in 2018. Actually spent about $190,000 on the home due to savings and sweat equity, but we had a loan for $175,000, and we had some of that money already set aside. And by the way, we still have $30,000 set aside for any kind of major repair work or something like that. That would be done on that. Now, you say, what else are you going to build? Well, I'm not going to be building another church building. Okay, personally, I don't intend, it's not my vision to build another church a building. That doesn't mean there's not other projects in the works or in the possibility. There are two or three possible projects, more likely two. One would be to enhance that single bedroom apartment out there to something more than one bedroom. That's already been a problem. We should have built a two bedroom on that other side. It just was too small. All right? But it's just, you know, hindsight, and we should have just done it. And that would have been better to do it then. So we're going to explore what it would take to enhance that, because you have a young couple in there, and next thing you know, you got a baby. The Robs had two babies in there, and one of them was pretty loud. So that's something I think worthwhile for us to do. It's not a secret that I would like to buy Evelyn's home over here, but it's really a long shot. That's going to be given to Brother Clifton, her son. And it's going to be a long shot to pull something like that off. And I know that. Anybody that knows Brother Clifton would know that. That's not, but that's the reason I want you to know, it's the first time I've shared with the whole church, that's the reason I tapped the brakes on that shop build out there. Because I didn't want to have to finance as much as I would have to finance to buy that. Okay? So that's a long shot. And we'll just wait and see what happens. The other course is to build a shop out here to get things out of the weather and stuff like that. Now, at the end of June, here we are in 2025, just over 15 years, and now we have less than $5,000 left on this mortgage. Had we not worked this plan and just bought what we needed, somebody, I just buy what you need. Okay, all right. No leverage, no wisdom. Okay, fine. If we'd have done that, we'd have paid around $7 million in principal and interest as opposed to paying approximately $700,000. But $700,000 sounds a lot better than $7 million for what we would owe. So this last leg, by the way, our mortgage payment right now, this last leg, when I had it recast, I decided with the approval of the officers to double what we were actually needing to pay, so that we would pay enough monthly to have all the mortgage debt wrapped up before we get into the trigger, which was take us into it from a flat loan. I'm a flat loan man. I want to know what I'm going to be paying. But it was going to trigger and then move to a variable note, which you don't know what you're going to be paying. It's going to be prime plus, right? So I wanted to be sure that when we recast that and we worked that into the negotiations, when we went from a bond to a bank, we wanted to get that in and get them to agree up front. If you don't get it, agree up front, they're not going to do it. And so have them recast that. And so we got it in that we stay in the flat term portion of that note to be sure to pay it off when it's still flat term. We know what we're going to owe. And so we did that. Our normal payments would have been about $2,500. So we just doubled that to get underneath that window. So we did that. All with approval of the officers, and they've been great all along. They've just been fantastic all along. This church has been blessed to have such good officers. Really, just been blessed. So here we stand, and we're at the close of a marathon. No, not that long. Like I said, I've got holes in my socks that are older than the 15 years. But I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of New Heights Baptist Church. We've had our struggles. We've had some difficulties. We certainly have. We've had some great victories, but this is one of them. It's off the charts. Good news. And even old Brother Dale Morrison, one day he said, I want you to know, he always never wanted to call me preacher. You never wanted to call me pastor. You know, always had to try to pull you down a few pegs. You know what I mean? Oh, codger. And but he told me one day, he said, let me tell you, I don't care what anybody says. And that's just the way he would talk. I don't care what anybody says. You've done good. You've done good. And I took that to be a pretty doggone good compliment coming from Dale Morrison. I'll promise you that. Old moss back like him, you know. And to God be the glory, right? To God be the glory. It's a wonderful story. I wish I had a lot more time. I'd share so many things with you. But just, the stories, the struggles we had. We had one time a staff kind of went sideways in the saddle, and next thing you know, we're $30,000-something in loss in one month. Oh, man, oh, God, what, you know, I'm not in this thing to hurt children. I don't like this at all. What am I going to do? So I had a family meeting, and we kind of shared minimum of what could be shared. If you need to know more, but officers knew, and officers still know. They know, and by the way, I know. But I shared a minimum. I think I had two members afterwards that came up with very particular questions that they want. I said, if you have any questions that I can answer, I'll be happy to answer anything I possibly can answer. And I tell you, that next week, all the tithes and offerings shot right back up, right where they were supposed to be. And not only that, this is a great story. You know, in young ministers, you think, man, those kind of stories never happened to me. You know, you hear all these great miracle things that happen, and say, they never happened to me. Why don't they happen to me? What's the matter with me? Do I stink or something, you know? And we were 30-something thousand, but we had an offering given that very day. Now, the morning of that very day, that evening, I had that family meeting. So they didn't know about that meeting. And the gift was over $30,000-something. And more than covered the shortfall of that prior month that put us in a dire strait. Let me tell you, God's good. And it's been a wonderful journey. It really has. But I am really excited about getting this done. So you may not have been a part of all of this and more going back, but you can be a part. This offering next Sunday we're going to take, and you can cast in your 2 pence and be a part of knocking this out, man. Amen. Knocking this out. Now, I'll hold the paperwork because we want to burn something. We don't want to satisfy Brother Daniel's appetite and burn something, you know. So we'll wait for our anniversary service and burn that note, you know. But we'll have a better time doing it then. Plus, it'll give him something to look forward to for several months, and he won't burn the house down that he just had built. But I want you to know, to God be the glory, great things He has done. And you've been a part of that memorial. You saw where we came from. Not too shabby in my book. I don't know how many times I pulled up here on the parking lot with my girlfriend, my wife, and I've said, it's a pretty church, isn't it? It's a pretty church. She said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a pretty church. When we were getting ready to move, the church family asked me, said, could we do a few things? Number one, we want it to look like a church. We want it to look like a church. We want church, and we want it to look like a church. And number two, we want a steeple. We never had a steeple. Never had a steeple. We want a steeple. We want it to look like a church. Boy, and I tell you, it looks good, especially of a night, and that light's shining up there. And your city kind of complained to me about that, and I said, go fly, guy. I don't care about you guys, you know. And, but to get this light shining on that steeple, man, I like it. And it's a big one, too. We like it. We like it. It's a steeple. Wanted a steeple. And the third thing, make sure the air conditioner works, because the air conditioner didn't work too good down there. You know, men taking off the coats and sticking to the pews. Couldn't have to peel them off, you know, the varnish. Running their coats and ties, you know. Men going down to their T-shirts. And not quite that. But so now we have men that complain, grown men complain. I wouldn't tell you who he is, but his name's Ray Yoko. He complains all the time about it being too cold in church. You know, I think he's having a midlife crisis or something. You can tell him I said that. I don't care how tough he is. I got many men that will take him on for me. Yeah, that's the benefits of being a preacher. Let's stand together. We'll have prayer. We'll go home and have a glass of iced tea, maybe a biscuit or two. If you can find some butter and jam or something to put on it, all the better. Amen. I'll tell you what. And those who have been with us for the whole time, it's been a good ride. And thank you for staying with me. Amen. Amen. Brother Gunner, you fill up praying for us?